on 100.3 The Biz. Portions of this program may be.
Do you ever have the feeling that your job is more than just a paycheck?
The job that you hold, the people that you work with, none of that is by chance.
You clock in and you clock out, but what goes on in between is more important than you might think.
Your workplace is your mission field, wherever that may be.
Your 9 to 5 or 5 to 9, your on to off twos, your doubles, overtimes, double times, part times, your job all the time matters every minute of every day.
The people that you work with, they need to meet Jesus, and you may be their only chance. Are you ready to work for Him?
Welcome to I Work for Him with your hosts, Jim and Martha Brangenberg.
Broadcasting from the heart of the I Work for Him Nation to Christ followers working in cities all over the United States, you've tuned into the voice of the faith and work movement, and we are your hosts, Jim and Martha Brangenberg. Welcome to I Work for Him. We're so excited you tuned in today. We're going to challenge you. We're actually going to get a little behind the scenes look today with a company you hear us talk about, or ministry you hear us talk about all the time.
That's exactly right, Jim. But in the meantime, listeners, if you have the opportunity to, or you want to know more about something that we're talking about on the air, don't forget we have a contact page on our website, iworkforhim.com. You can go there and it's like writing us an email. Now, you can also find our email addresses on our website. You can pretty much, Jim and I are available and willing to have conversations with you.
Heck, my cell phone number is on the
Your
website.
Cell phone is on there. We have a listener line they can call in, but they only get a minute there, you know, so depending on how
What's that
like,
listener line?
866-713-9675. 866-713-WORK. And but we have all kinds of ways for you to get in touch with us. But the bottom line is we want to know what God is doing in your life and in your work and how you may be seeing little victories or even maybe a challenge that you want us to come alongside and pray with you about. So make sure you reach out to us.
That's the contact us page on our website, iworkforhim.com. It's iworkthenumber4him.com, as well as our listener line, 866-713-9675, 866-713-WORK. We're so excited for this show. The show made possible through, in part, because of a partnership between I Work For Him, Don Hoover, and the Pocket Testament League. The Pocket Testament League makes it easy for you and me to get the Word of God into the hands of our coworkers, employees, neighbors, friends, just people we do life with. Check them out online, ptl.org. Don Hoover, you have set us up with another amazing interview right here in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. Tell us who you got for us today and why. No, don't even do that. Okay, tell us who. Tell us who first. Just go ahead, tell me.
I'm hanging on for dear life here, Jim. We have the privilege today of having Dr. R.A. Wilson, better known as Rich, to those of us who know and love him, Rich Wilson.
All right, so he's with the Pocket Testament League. He's the you know, we're going to talk about that a lot, but how does the Pocket Testament League impact what you do here at Binkley and Hurst?
Well, first of all, Lititz is the home of Binkley and Hurst and also the original home, I believe, of the Pocket Testament League. And I used to think Pocket Testament League was a bunch of little old ladies running around Saturday mornings at the mall handing out scriptures. It's not the, well, it might be the case, but it's way, way, way more than that. So we have been using gospels that other people have created for the most part. We've developed one of our own. And we distribute them through our toy store packages. We've distributed them in, they're being distributed right now in Sierra Leone, West Africa, through a mission we're actively involved in there. And I've used them at funerals, at just in business interactions here and there and everywhere.
So you send them out every time you send out a toy out of the toy store?
Every time we send a shipment out, not necessarily just every individual toy, but boxes of toys, yes, are getting the Gospel of John.
Mm-hmm. All right. When we come back, Rich Wilson from the Pocket Testament League.
Hi there, Michael Miracle here, and we'll be right back with Jim and Martha and more of the I Work For Him radio show in just 90 seconds. But first, we want to take this time and thank our sponsors for supporting this show. Today, we want to thank Luke Andrews with Inspire Advisors. Luke is focused on helping you and me to steward what God has given us in a way that is honoring to God and biblically responsible. Luke helps clients all over the U.S. His number is 727-798-4188 or online, inspireadvisors.com. Also, we'd like to thank Todd Hopkins at Office Pride Commercial Cleaning Services. Todd and his team make it possible for you to own a cleaning franchise and learn how to run it in a way that honors the Lord, honors your employees, and honors your customers. Franchise opportunities are available all over the country. OfficePrideFranchise.com. OfficePrideFranchise.com. And finally today, we want to thank Tony Dale and his team at Sedera Health and the Caris Group. Healthcare benefits for the people within our organizations has gotten out of control over the past 10 years. Sedera Health is a corporate healthcare sharing organization that is biblically designed and more financially friendly than the typical health insurance alternative. Sedera can help your groups of two or more people online. Sedera.com. That's Sedera.com. Remember, you can always support I Work For Him and our efforts to transform the workplace of every Christian into a mission field online at iworkforhim.com/donate. Now, let's get back to I Work For Him.
Hey, welcome back to I Work For Him. We've got a power-packed show for you today, highlighting the life of Rich Wilson and the ministry of the Pocket Testament League. You know, 126 years ago, it's a long time to see a dream come true. What started as a passion in the heart of a teenage girl is now impacting millions of people every day, 126 years later. We're talking about the Pocket Testament League. The Pocket Testament League is an amazing tool. It's a pocket-sized Gospel of John that's designed to make it easy to give away God's Word so that it can become alive and breathing and active in someone else's life today. It comes in over 100 languages and in English, dozens of translations. Let me tell you how I use it. I bridge a conversation into a Jesus conversation and I ask, have you ever read anything from the Bible? When they almost always say no, I ask them to read the Gospel of John, a pocket testament, and then I ask them to have a conversation after they're done reading. Then God gets to work moving in their lives, and they can't help but be impacted because they're reading God's Word, which we're told is living and breathing and active. Here to tell us more about what God's been doing recently with the Pocket Testament League and a little bit more about what's going on in his life is Rich Wilson. He's the Chief Stewardship Officer of the Pocket Testament League. Rich, you have brought tons of people onto I Work For Him. Welcome, finally, to you being on I Work For Him.
Thank you. I've looked forward to being here, Jim.
So, Rich, let me just ask you this question. At what point in time in your life did you realize that God cared as much about your work as that of a pastor or a missionary, that you didn't have to be in a pastorate, in a church, or on the foreign mission field, that you could be doing anything and be in ministry?
Well, it's very interesting. My journey took me through a higher education and to a manufacturing company. First time really outside of a Christian world. I had been a pastor for a while and in Christian higher education, and when I went to the manufacturing world, my whole view of what it meant to minister to people changed. I was always concerned about the lost. I was involved in Child Evangelism Fellowship as a teenager and involved in that kind of stuff, involved in church. But to actually be in the workplace and try and figure out how can I exercise my faith and my belief in that context. And so I was blessed that the owner of the company was a Christian man, and he didn't have a set of core values at the time or a mission statement. And he had it in his head, but we got it down on a piece of paper. We worked through it for the first couple weeks of my time there, and then we implemented it in everything that we did. So the interview process, when we were doing advertising, we did daily devotionals, and we tried to make sure that the culture exemplified Christ. So anybody that wanted a job, we sat down with them. I had them actually come in and sit with me, and part of the interview process was to go over our core values, which were about God and relationships and trust. And we're all about God giving us a second chance. And so we're here to give you a second chance. So I had an opportunity to take my faith and actually practice it every day with the non-believers that were coming to the workplace. And then live it with our employees. So it was a very, very unique way of really changing my whole perspective about what is ministry. It's daily living where you are, where God places you.
So that manufacturing company, does it still exist today?
Oh, yes, it does.
Mm-hmm. And how are they doing carrying on the culture that you helped build?
As far as I know, they're doing great.
So it still lives on today. You were able to build it so much that you could perpetuate it.
Well, I would say that the Lord built it.
Of course. Yes. But, of course, the given.
But yes, we helped to establish a culture that carries on today, because that was the heart of the founder of the company, the president of the company.
You know, I think you said a really key thing, because he as the founder had those things in his heart, but had not put them on paper and started to implement them. So I think that's one of the things that I want our listeners to just hear, is that, you know, we can be well-intentioned, but let's take that next step and have the courage, maybe, or the faith, and finding somebody like yourself that can come alongside you and help you with that, because that may not be their strength. A lot of people are afraid to, like, you know, pen it and actually get it on paper. So I hope that encourages people, because until that's done, it's really hard to change a culture, isn't it? To really make it something if they don't know what it's supposed to be.
Absolutely, absolutely. And what it helped to do is clarify.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
We were able to get, we use an acrostic GREAT for the core values. Mm. And so once we got that down, we actually put it on a pallet on the wall.
Of course,
it was a pallet manufacturing company. And so it was there. Mm-hmm. So anybody that came in, customers, employees, potential employees, they saw it. Mm. So it was now right there for
awesome.
Everybody to see. And it created conversation. What does this mean? You know, and it gave you greater opportunities.
Mm-hmm. So here's a question, though. Okay, because you were really following the lead of the Holy Spirit and doing those things and impacting culture, feeding into people. Did you ever ask the Holy Spirit, what do I do with all these old pallets? Because that, I mean, you think today?
They prayed for a change in the decor.
Somebody asked that question, because, I mean, the old pallets are like the hottest commodity in the country right now.
Well, that's what this company did. It manufactured new, but it was recycling pallets. So it would take old broken pallets and repair them. So when I got there, one of the very first things I did was I took an old pallet and I took a new pallet, both the same size. We had to do some renovation for the office, and I created a backdrop for in the president's office. One was an old pallet that said, old things are passed away, uh-huh. And I put a new pallet. And it says, behold, all things become new. And so anytime you went into his office, it was the old nature, and the new because of Christ. And again, created conversation.
Oh, that's awesome.
That is very cool. So how did the Lord use all of that experience at a pallet manufacturing company to move you to the Pocket Testament League today?
Well, it was interesting. I had a friend of mine who had been talking to me about an opportunity with the state of Pennsylvania. There was a contract going, and he asked me for my resume. A Christian company wanted somebody to take the skills that I had and try and help them do a contract with the state. And so I gave them the contract. Unknown to me, one of the board members of the Pocket Testament League also asked that gentleman for my resume, because there was an opening at the Pocket Testament League. So, as has God has done so many times in my life, he pursues me, mm-hmm. and this was kind of them coming to me to say, hey, look, we have this opportunity, and this is a pretty exciting opportunity, and would love to talk with you about it. So, 3 or 4 months into a conversation, then they eventually asked me to come and join them.
And what is your role, so that we all understand what it is that you're doing at the Pocket Testament League?
Well, my title is the Chief Stewardship Officer. Mm-hmm. I like to call myself the Blessings Broker, because
right.
I give people the opportunity to be blessed through giving. Stewardship is management of God's resources, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so God has given us all resources, financial resources, time resources, a variety of different things. And so I'm always trying to share, here are the opportunities that God affords us, and would God challenge you to be part of helping to make this possible?
So just for the audience, just really quick, what's the Pocket Testament League all about?
Well, we are about introducing people to Jesus all over the world. Our mission statement is to equip and mobilize believers, that's you and me, to read the Word of God, mm-hmm. to carry it with you, and then to intentionally share it.
Mm-hmm.
So my greatest challenge when I talk to believers is, you want to take God's challenge. For 30 days, let me challenge you, for 30 days, get 30 Gospels, and at the beginning of every morning, ask God, who would you like me to share this with today? and then wait and watch and wait. And when God prompts your heart, you give it. And if you do that for 30 days, it not only becomes part of you, but you're going to see some pretty incredible things, mm-hmm. what God has done.
And it is. I mean, in our own lives, Martha's dad's been a Pocket Testament leaguer for over 40 years. Just in our own lives, though, just the intentionality. We were always giving Bibles out, trying to get people, hey, if you really want to find out who Jesus is, read it for yourself. But that's a lot harder to carry in your pocket.
That's exactly right. And it's the Gospel of John. It's in a very, very 64-page little mm-hmm. document that's easily fits into your pocket.
Your back pocket, your front pocket, your coat pocket.
That's exactly right.
Or the, you know, the pocket in your door.
Exactly right.
Because in Florida, we're never wearing jacket pockets.
That's true.
Except that one day a year we do wear a light jacket. But, all right, so how is the Pocket Testament League impacting this country for Christ?
Well, it's been exciting. The last several years, we've had quite a number of people giving out Gospels. I think last year it was 1.5 million Gospels handed to someone to introduce them to Jesus mm-hmm. here in the United States. And we focused a couple of segments of the year. We call it our Summer Challenge,
yes.
when everybody's out doing vacations and all that kind of stuff, to just do what I shared with you earlier, and that is get a gospel, find someone to do it. And our challenge was to get at least 500,000 gospels into the hands of people here in the United mm-hmm. States through young people or whatever, but always doing it one-to-one.
Right.
And last year, I think it was 579,000 people did that.
That's
gave them
great.
One-to-one. And this year, it was like 559,000. I'm not sure the exact number, but 550-some thousand mm-hmm. were done that way. And what's interesting now, it's 2 years in a row that we've
okay.
done this,
mm-hmm.
and now we have some momentum because it is carried over now right. into the month of October.
PTL.org, PTL.org is the website. You can get signed up. It's just not... To get the Word of God, there's tons of different covers you can choose from. And you can also get a customized cover for your business or your organization, which is what Martha and I use as we talk about the Pocket Testament League across the country. Tell us some stories, Rich, of how the Pocket Testament is impacting people.
Well, I'll share with one that we just got last week. We have a little process we call Ring the Bell.
Mm-hmm.
And at the league. And when somebody hears a story... We ring the bell for everybody.
Okay.
So we had a woman who got some gospels to give out to teenagers in her community. And she had ordered them in, and she got them, and they were in her study or something like mm-hmm. that. And her husband was curious about what she was doing. He did not know the Lord. So she started doing this, and he said, well, why are you doing this? And so she shared why she was doing it. And he said, well, I'm interested in doing that. Tell me how I can accept Christ as my Savior.
Wow.
So she went and got a gospel that she had given, or she was giving out to them.
Right.
And she walked them through the first 4 or 5 pages of our gospel that has the plan of salvation and led him to the Lord right there. Just because of an effort to give out to the young people.
Wow.
So that's pretty exciting.
I
love that, and because it created intrigue in him, so instead of her going, here's something you have to read, which he may have pushed off, it created the intrigue, and God knew the timing.
Absolutely.
So that is worthy of ringing the bell.
There's just
awesome.
Much that Rich Wilson has to share with us. When we come back, we're mm-hmm. going to hear some more about what God's doing around the world because of the Pocket Testament League and how you can get involved. This is literally one of our favorite tools for introducing people to Jesus because it makes it easy. And the power of God is in the Word of God and in the words of Jesus. And that's what's in the book of John, written by one of Jesus' best friends. You're listening to I Work For Him with your host, Jim and Martha Brangenberg, as we talk with Rich Wilson from the Pocket Testament League online, ptl.org.
You're listening to the I Work For Him radio show. Jim and Martha will be right back in just a moment. Right now, let's thank our show sponsors. Today, we want to thank Brian Green and Helping Hands Charities for their support. Helping Hands helps your employees within your organization. by encouraging generosity to each other. Helping Hands is a charitable giving expert. Visit online at hhcharitable.org. That's hhcharitable.org. Many of our listening audience live in communities with shared utility cost. Your neighbor may run their water all day long and you're a water miser, but you both get charged the same amount. Well, Bill Wolf and his team at Think Utility Services are specialists in helping multifamily communities reduce utility cost by installing individual meters, saving water and saving money. Online at thinkutilityservices.com. That's thinkutilityservices.com. Finally, today, we want to thank Skip Stanton and his team at Aqua Plumbing and Air. Aqua Plumbing and Air, located south of Tampa Bay, is a company dedicated to great care of their customers for AC plumbing, electrical repair. Aqua is an example for all of us how to run an AC mechanical company, glorifying God with a great service reputation. Visit online at aquaplumbing.com. That's aquaplumbing.com. Once again, here's Jim and Martha.
Hey, welcome back to I Work For Him. As we talk today with Rich Wilson from the Pocket Testament League, former director. Was you like a VP or CEO of the manufacturing company? At the end, you were running it, weren't you?
I was a vice president of operations.
Vice president. So you worked in pallet manufacturing, which is with wood, and now you hand out pocket testaments. And you're in charge of the chief stewardship officer for the Pocket Testament League online at ptl.org. But it was all that work came from trees.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there must have been some kind of correlation. As you look now at your work at the pallet manufacturing company, and now you work at the Pocket Testament League, what did God teach you at the pallet manufacturing company that you use every day at the Pocket Testament League?
Well, the best thing about the Pocket Testament League is that it makes being an evangelist and a disciple something very simple to do. Not easy. Not always easy to have the strength and get enough courage to be able to give a gospel. But it makes it simple because of the different covers that we have, the different contexts you can use them. If you're alert to what God's doing, it's a very simple thing to say, hey, here's something for you. It's a little gift for you. It's the words of Jesus about himself. We'd love for you to do it, to read it. I do that all the time when I'm in a restaurant. Thank you for your service.
Right.
Here's a little gift for you along with your tip. When I'm walking through an airport, I carry, we have a camo one, or we have them, today's Veterans Day. We have some of those military ones. So
right.
I look for the military guys, and I'll say, thank you for your service. Here's a little gift for you. So it makes it simple to be a witness, to be an evangelist for Christ. Not always easy.
Right. Anyway, that's exactly right. So tell us a few examples of how you have seen the Pocket Testaments being used within business context.
Oh, that's really exciting. I'll tell you one of the most recent stories we had, which is a pretty exciting story. There's a gentleman who co-branded a gospel for his company. He uses it for his customers and for his employees and for his vendors and the people that, you know, UPS who comes to his door. But his children are involved in youth group at church. And they decided that they wanted to have a greater impact on their school. So he took his business gospel and he gave it to the youth group as one of the ways of being able to use it. And one of the children, one of the students, teenagers from the church, took the gospel and gave it to the drug dealer in the school, the known drug dealer. And that drug dealer came to know the Lord as a result of doing that. We have a couple gentlemen who use the gospel as a way, they put their mission and vision statement inside the covers. That's how one of the ways that they customize it, not just the cover on the outside, but the inside. And they use it in their interviewing process for hiring. Here are our core values. Here's our mission statement. And you don't necessarily have to believe that, but this is the environment. This is what you're going to hear while you're here. So, again, it gives them an opportunity to reach out.
Wow.
We
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. So I just let's let our listeners know. I know we've talked about it on the air, but talk about a little bit about the co-branding that you kind of are alluding to, that people can use that in their own organization. It's not just for some secret club somewhere. Anybody can do this, right?
Any business can do it, and we help mm-hmm. with the design work. All they need is some kind of a picture or logo or whatever they would like to have on the outside mm-hmm. that they think is going to represent them mm-hmm. and the Lord. They already have they're predisposed to wanting to get the gospel out. So there'll be a little letter from them in the beginning on the inside cover. And then they'll write, like I said, on the back. They'll do core values, a mission statement, or a variety of different things.
The possibilities are endless with those customizable
Absolutely.
Gospels. Rich Wilson, it's always too quick to have you on, but we're grateful that you're on. We're grateful for the Pocket Testament League. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
Make sure you check them out online. Get signed up, ptl.org, ptl.org. This is an amazing ministry. You listen to I Work For Him with your host, Jim and Martha Brangenberg. We're Christ followers, our workplace, it's our mission field, but ultimately, I work for him.
100.3 FM.
Hello, a group of Palestinian lawyers threatening to file federal lawsuits because of the peace plan.
Live from Washington, D.C., J. Seculo Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Hope you had a great weekend. We're going to start getting into some topics that, of course, the ACLJ is heavily involved in. There's a threat of a lawsuit. Now, this is an irony of irony. The president, while all this was going on in Washington with the impeachment trial, there was also some other news, believe it or not, and that was involving the peace plan. And this was the Israeli-Palestinian peace plan. And it got some Arab world support, which was important. But there's already now a threat because of the peace plan. There is a threat by a group of Palestinian lawyers that have gotten together that say they will file lawsuits against any person that supports the plan or engages in business in the territories.
Yes, I mean, so we're seeing now, again, this is it between U.S. lawsuits, European lawsuits. Anyone, any company, any politicians, individual businessmen, so not just their businesses, but individual businessmen, they are now making these threats to file lawsuits. And, Dad, what we have seen in the past is that they will make good on at least filing the lawsuit and tying people up in court.
Oh, they have. I mean, we've got a case that we're handling right now in the district court. We won it at the district court, and then the court of appeals reversed it. And Andy, that was a case that alleged that any groups involved in any business activities, including Shelley Adelson among others, with in the what's called the settlement areas, would be a violation of international law. And there was a major lawsuit filed, and we represent Gush Etzion, a town, a city.
That was filed, believe it or not, Jay, in 2016.
I know.
That was
filed. And we won at the district court.
We represent Gush Etzion Foundation, which is a charity dedicated to defending the history and people of Gush Etzion, which is dozens of Israeli cities, towns, and villages near Jerusalem and Bethlehem. The wrongdoing that was alleged by the charities and nonprofits was they supported and continued to support the Jewish state of Israel.
Right.
That's their wrongdoing. We lost in the district. We won in the district court. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit reversed on jurisdictional grounds, which means you do have jurisdiction. Sent it back to the district court. We are deciding right now whether we're going to litigate the motion to dismiss on other bases in the district court, or just exactly what we're going to do.
Or take it on appeal.
Or take it on appeal
to the Supreme Court.
To the Supreme Court, which would be the next step.
Yeah. So, Harry, you look at the, you looked at the peace plan. We're going to get into more on this in the next segment. You've looked at the peace plan. What's your assessment?
Well, my assessment is that this peace plan is a realistic approach to A, improving the lives of the Palestinian people, and B, bringing peace to the Middle East. But equally clear, I think, if you look at these the litigation filed by the Palestinians, that the Palestinian Authority opposes any plan that actually improves the lives of the Palestinian people. So they are committed to one goal and one goal only, apparently, and that is an attempt to destroy the legitimacy of the state of Israel, even if it hurts the Palestinian people.
So let me say this. We are prepared at the ACLJ, as we have been, to litigate these cases. So if this group of Palestinian lawyers bring cases, the ACLJ will meet that challenge. As I said, we're representing the Gutjes Yon Foundation. Andy just talked about that case. That's now going back to the district court for more litigation. So we will handle that. When we come back from the break, we'll be joined by Skip Ash. I want to talk to him about this case. I want to talk to him about the peace plan. We're also at the ICC again, International Criminal Court. That, boy, it seems like yesterday. We were there in December. Was it 4th, 5th, and 6th when it was involving the United States? Now there's one involving Israel. And your American Center for Law and Justice and our European Center for Law and Justice are front and center on those cases. In fact, your support of the ACLJ and ECLJ makes it all possible.
Folks, go to ACLJ.org to learn about all of our work and support the work of the ACLJ. That's ACLJ.org. You can donate today.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
So we've got the Palestinian Authority threatening a lawsuit against anyone who accepts President Trump's peace plan. Harry just laid out for you that it is, and we'll get more into it, it's a comprehensive plan and one that he thinks has a lot of potential. What do you think is the biggest aspect of it, Harry? Is it the economic side?
I think it's the economic side, but it also makes plans to, if you will, unify the lands controlled by the Palestinians and the lands controlled by the Israelis. And so essentially the Palestinian Authority would control a contiguous area, whereas I believe currently there's some areas that have difficulty communicating and moving from one area to another that are part of the Palestinian Authority. So I think it's very, very helpful. It's sensible. But I also think because it's sensible, because it's helpful, because it improves the lives of the Palestinian people, the Palestinian Authority is very committed to opposing it.
Well, that was one of the questions that came in via Facebook here is, which I thought was pretty interesting, I think it just kind of sums it all up. And that is from Lucy, does the Palestinian Authority really want peace? I'm going to go to Skip Ash, our senior counsel in charge of our international law group, does a lot of work in Israel. Does the Palestinian Authority really want peace, Skip?
I think they want peace, but if that's but only on their own terms. They want 100% of their demands, and if they don't get 100% of their demands, then they're going to fight every little thing. Remember, they were given the opportunity on at least two other occasions where they were going to get 97% of what they asked for, and they rejected that. Abba Ibn was right. They never miss an opportunity to miss an opportunity. So they want peace, but only on their terms, and ideally their terms is with Israel sitting in the middle of the Mediterranean.
Yeah, so let me ask you this, Andy, and I want Jordan to comment on this too. In looking at this latest move by the Palestinian Authority, which is basically they completely reject the plan, don't even want to discuss it, yet there are significant concessions in there that both sides would have to make. It does seem like what Skip's saying is right. They just don't want to go there.
Well, they don't.
Because it impacts their leadership base.
I think the answer really to the question that the Facebook a person said, does the Palestinian Authority really want peace, is the answer is no. Not on their terms, not on any terms. They want to continuously stir up action against the state of Israel because their ultimate determination, Jay, and the ultimate goal is to eradicate and to eliminate the existence of the state of Israel, period. And they give you these ideas that, yes, we'll take this or yes, we'll take that, but we want it on our terms. I think the real goal here is to eradicate and to eliminate the state of Israel, and peace means the lack of getting any more money, which is what their leaders really are wanting, yeah, here, money and power. Once you have peace, you don't have that. They want that. They're not going to give up on any terms whatsoever.
Jordan, what do you think?
I think that when it comes to this issue, as Skip has said, as Andy has said, if it's not everything they want, and that includes Jerusalem, basically, they're in this position now of we're going to reject everything. And by the way, we're going to make these threats of suing everyone who would even support a peace plan. It's absurd, but it just tells you this is supposed to be the moderate faction within the Palestinians. These are supposed to be the people you can deal with.
Yeah.
When the Palestinian movement and with the Palestinian governments and leadership, and they reject everything without even going to the negotiating table. And I think that's what's so disappointing about the leadership for the Palestinian people. And it will take the people waking up one day, I think, to this and changing their leadership, because this is an old leadership set in their ways. They want Jerusalem.
They must have.
This is his guys. Right. They want Jerusalem. If they don't get Jerusalem, nothing's good enough. And they're not going to get Jerusalem.
So, Harry, I look at it. I want Skip to comment on this too, but I'll go to Harry first. In looking at it, it seems to me that the Palestinian people themselves probably want peace. It is the leadership that does not.
I think your analysis is spot on. Essentially, the leadership, this is my view, wants to continue the opportunity to take advantage of all of the aid plans, and then they take advantage of those aid plans, and then they ship a disproportionate amount of the money to Europe. So the plan that President Trump proposed would enable a future Palestinian state to be contiguous and united, but at the same time, the plan would not give the Palestinians the right to threaten Israel's security interest. It's also important to note that although the Palestinian leaders have already rejected this proposal and they're threatening to sue, representatives of the Arab states of Oman, Bahrain, and the United Arab Emirates attended this week's news conference with President Trump, where he announced his vision for peace. So there's some optimism about this peace plan among the Arab people broadly, but there's little optimism about the plan among the Palestinian leadership.
So, Skip, I want you to comment on that, because I want to say for the next segment, our latest activity at the ICC.
Yeah, I think the president's plan recognizes reality between the Israelis and the Palestinians. And by doing so, they're trying to make the life of the Palestinians as nice as it can be by providing monies, by providing contiguous territories, by providing self-rule. at the same time with not endangering the existence of the state of Israel. I think the broader Middle East is finally coming to the realization that the promises that were made by the Palestinians to the Palestinians in the so-called diaspora were totally unrealistic. They're not going to get their houses back in the Tel Aviv area. They're not going to get Haifa back. They're not going to get these places back. The president recognizes that. He said, okay, what we want to do is to make your lives livable, enjoyable, so that you have a good life for yourselves and your children. They can live out their lives in peace and prosperity. And what we want to do is to solve these problems. And the more that the Palestinian authorities fight this or withhold it, the worse the situation gets, because the Israelis continue to develop. More people are moving there, and they're continuing to develop settlements and so forth. And those settlements, I want to emphasize that those settlements are lawful despite what the international community says, and therefore the Palestinians are painting themselves into a corner, and they're never going to be able to get out of it if they don't make some compromises.
All right, well, coming up in the next segment, we're going to get into the latest move at the International Criminal Court in The Hague with the prosecutor, Office of the Prosecutor. We were there in December defending the United States' interests. Now we're going to be, looks like, back again defending Israel's interests. Before we do that, we're going to go to a phone call. Now, this is an interesting phone call, because this is from a friend of mine who I've not spoken to in probably 40 years, at least. Came to Atlanta once. We were friends in Jericho, Long Island. I've been trying to look him up for years. Steve, is it really you?
Jay, is this really you?
It is. This is pretty great.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, Steve Mills has been my professional performing name as a band leader, guitar teacher, musician. Let me tell you, my wife, my second wife, who I've been married to for 23 years, yep. Doris, she's 10 years younger, she started watching you about 2.5 years ago and marveled at you. And then I started watching, and I said, Doris, you're not going to believe this. I was his guitar player playing Sugar Sugar by the Archies.
Right.
And he was my drummer.
I was your drummer.
And we had a wonderful, you know, his brother is Gary, his right. sister is Cindy.
No, Jeannie. The cousin was Cindy. It's Cindy.
Cindy.
Jeannie was my sister. Yeah, is my sister.
Your sister.
Yeah.
Right. And your parents,
yep.
I remember.
Yeah.
But I've been following you and who you
my, where are you now? Where are you living now, Steve?
I've been for 40 years exactly in South Florida, in Weston.
I
moved
oh, sure.
to Florida in 1980, and you know, it was a great move for me, and became successful in the band business. You know, I saw your video, by the way, on my wife's
yeah,
phone.
Yeah, still playing.
I know. I mean, you never stopped. Your band was marvelous.
Yeah, but you were. I mean, Steve, I got to say this about Steve. I mean, we were friends since we were probably 13 years old. And the band initially was me and Steve. I mean, he played guitar, I played drums. And at like 13, 14 years old, he could play guitar. I've still never seen. I mean, it was incredible.
Wow.
And I am so glad that you reconnect. I've been trying to, you know, now that I know your stage name, but I got your phone number too, so we'll reconnect after the broadcast. But I appreciate, Steve, you calling in. It means
a
lot.
Call me because I'm a huge fan of yours. And I said to Doris, I'll make you a $100 bet. I'll make you a $10 bet. This guy was a great, true friend of mine, and we love it. So anyway, you have my number.
That's
and,
great.
And you now live in Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, Washington and Nashville and, you know, kind of back and forth. But the last months have been up in Nashville. But
oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
God.
Up in Washington. Yeah, so we just got back. Hey, Steve, thanks for calling in.
Please call me. I have a lot to tell you.
I'm going to do it. I'll call you after the broadcast or call you this afternoon. It's great to hear from you. Well, that's a great way to go into a break. I've been looking to try to find him literally for years, and I had his real name, not his professional name. Yeah. There you go.
Stage name.
Yeah, stage name. He's a talented
guy.
Still
in the business.
Yeah,
still in the
it's great. Not shocking either, by the way. All right, we're taking a break. When we come back, I hear from other band members. There you go. It'll be reunion week. I did hear from a lot of people while we were up representing the president. All right, we'll take your calls, 800-684-3110. Back with more in just a moment.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. By the way, we are going to get into the New Hampshire primary and politics in the second half hour of the broadcast. So, again, going through the polls there, Iowa was such a disaster. It was a mess for a lot of for the Democrats last week. It was just a disaster, let's put it that way. But they've got their primary tomorrow night. Should get results, should get numbers. So we will cover that for you in the second half hour if you've got questions about that. The weird, I'd say that weird, like, point of this primary is that you still have these Bloomberg-type figures who are not really competing, and you've got the traditional campaigns really falling apart. Maybe you have Mayor Pete on the rise, Bernie Sanders on the rise, but Joe Biden, let me say, I worked for Jeb Bush's campaign, so I don't mean this in a horribly mean way, but it feels very similar to that campaign, which I worked on, which is just you started off at the top, and then once things actually started, you never got off the ground. You never got above fourth and fifth place. And it looks like Joe Biden's setting people up. He told people, like, I'm going to take a hit here. He took a gut punch, he said, in Iowa. He's going to take a hit in New Hampshire.
Can he he got hit in Iowa.
Yeah.
Although Iowa, what a mess that is.
Yeah.
So that's like over. But he's going to come in like fourth or fifth in New Hampshire.
Yes, looks like fifth.
Then it's Nevada.
Yeah, he should do better there.
And we're going to talk about this when we come back from the break.
Yeah.
But in the back half hour, we'll get into this. But it looks pretty pretty weak for him. All right, let me go to we're focusing today on the on some ACLJ cases that we've got. There's this threat of litigation. How do you view this threat of litigation? I mean, we saw it in for real as it relates to the Al-Tamimi case, which we're handling. So it's not like they don't do this. They, you know, you do business with the territories and they file suits. So you got to take it seriously because they file lawsuits. They say they're prepared to file hundreds of them. What's your thought on this?
Well, I think lawfare is alive and well, and they've gained a lot from engaging in lawfare. So they're using the courts as their battlefield against their enemies. So I think they're probably going to do it. I just don't think they're going to have a lot of success, at least in the United States. They may have greater success in Europe because Europe is already has a basic anti-Israel forum. So anything that they can raise in Europe will be much better received. In the United States, I think much less so. But I think we have to prepare for it and expect numerous lawsuits.
Andy, what do you think? I mean, we're dealing with the Al-Tamimi case. Like you said, we've been dealing with it for 3 years.
Correct. Well, I think we have to realize that the ICC is power grabbing and wanting to assert itself right now. The prosecutor, I should say, not the court. The prosecutor wants the Chamber of Judges to determine what land belongs to Palestine. in direct contravention of a number of key principles of international law, as well as agreements entered into freely by the Palestinians with Israel. And as Skip Ash has said, it would be like some foreign entity coming into the United States and deciding that Arizona, California, and New Mexico really belong to Mexico.
So Skip, this new lawsuit or this new filing that the Office of the Prosecutor put forward, what is she exactly? It's a request for an investigation?
Actually, it's a request for the pretrial chamber to determine the territorial area that that the so-called state of Palestine occupies, so she can know where the Israelis may have committed crimes on a territory of a state party to the Rome Statute. So they're being
so they're
asked.
Basically asking them to determine the boundaries?
Absolutely. Mm. What she wants from them is their confirmation of statehood to include the footprint of that state. So this is something that we have to fight because, first of all, Palestine doesn't qualify as a state. And secondarily, this court has no authority to be able to make such determinations.
Now, Skip, we've already filed in this, correct? Or are we starting our filing process?
We have filed a request for leave to file submission. So we've filed a request to be able to file a response. That determination is supposed to be made Friday of this week. We'll know whether we're allowed to do it or not. And then if we are allowed to do it, we have to file by the 16th of March.
Skip, something we were talking about in our pre-radio call was that we're starting to see some of the same actors from way back when we were at the ICC the first time
yep.
on this Israel situation. They're already starting to file their leaves to get involved on the other side of this issue.
We're already seeing that?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Professor Quigley from, he's now retired, but a professor emeritus from Ohio State University was one of the people you debated, yep. Jay, when we went over,
sure.
when we met with the first time with the first prosecutor. He's come back again, and he says he has a strong case that Palestine is a state. We've answered that a couple of times. We're going to have to answer it again before this chamber of judges if we're given permission to do so.
Palestine is not a state. It has never been a state. It was a Roman province, if you want to go back to ancient history. But to make the argument that there is a state of Palestine as such is not true. And I think we need to be, as we have been very active with the ICC, Jay, we were very successful. We went there in December and made our arguments against jurisdiction over U.S. soldiers and the attempt by the prosecutor to prosecute them for war crimes. And I think this is something that we need to continue to do in this new phase.
Let me ask you this, Skip, on this one. No clearance yet on whether there'll be any kind of oral argument, right?
That's correct. I think when they publish the order that's going to come down probably Friday or early next week, they're going to lay out who may participate and whether there's going to be oral arguments.
What do you think? What's your gut?
My gut would probably be no, but because this is a pretrial chamber, this is not as important. But the issue is so important, I think there are going to be a lot of people who would like to have oral arguments. And if so, we're going to pursue it. If that's an option, we want to do that also.
Back to The Hague we might go. I mean, that's how it appears. So you look at the situation, Harry, in kind of from a policy perspective. You got a peace plan on the table, yet you got the threats from the Palestinian lawyers to file lawsuits against anybody that does business with the settlements. And then you have at the ICC the prosecutor saying, "Hey, we want the court to determine the statehood and boundaries, not the international communities, not the NGOs, not the UN. We want the court to decide what the boundaries are and whether there's a state."
I think your analysis is very, very sound. So essentially, we have a situation where global elites, something that Professor Patrick Deneen calls liberocrats, they respond to grievances or alleged grievances. And the Palestinian people have done a fabulous public relations job in cultivating what might be called a grievance culture. So global elites are quite prepared to ignore governing law, including international law, and instead substitute their own judgment for the judgment of the people's representatives. Keep in mind that the ICC, in theory, is grounded in the notion of the consent of sovereign states, and it's up to the political authorities to decide whether or not to agree to the Rome Statute governing governing the ICC. Yeah. Israel and the United States have declined to join.
Yeah.
So this prosecutor at the ICC is saying, listen, let's substitute my judgment for the judgment of governing authorities, and this is demonic.
All right, so coming up, we're getting into some politics. New Hampshire, some pretty interesting new polling out showing a new person in third place. Someone who's been around politics for a long time, dropping down to fifth place, though still first place in the national polls, which is interesting. We'll take your phone calls on politics coming up, 1-800-684-3110. Is there anyone in this Democrat field right now that you believe is a threat to President Trump's reelection? Because Jonathan Carl from ABC News, after the Democrat debate on Friday night, said no. He said absolutely not. There's not anyone who is a threat, and that many New Hampshire Democrats are already talking about Trump being reelected as a given. Now, you never take any election as a given. We'll be right back.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Refreshing updates at the right prices start with Lowe's, because now at Lowe's, when you shop our bath savings event, you can get up to 40% off select bath essentials. That's up to 40% off vanities, faucets, toilets, and more. And see your home in a whole new light by shopping thousands of lighting options.